Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy! And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to hear Riley and I do blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Yeah, do it.
Do it. $3 a month.
Feed our family. You can cut that out.
Nope.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit sexual content and death.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this comes from Jess Rose. And it says, smutty little rat here. I love you guys. This podcast is elite. I listen all day at work. I need a review of Bad Bishop, please. I've never heard of that one.
No, me either. Thank you for the comment. This is
so sweet. Yeah, cute.
And today we're telling Riley all about Soul Eater by Lily Maine. And stay tuned to the end of the episode if you want to hear our ratings on it.
Yeah.
So in this world, a majority of the U.S. population lives along the coastlines because the rest of the land has been taken over by monsters. The U.S. military has a base in Nebraska to try and capture and kill them. Danny enlisted 6 months ago to get out of New Louisiana because everyone is now poor, hungry, and trapped by the government. He's 23 years old and terrified because he's basically a nobody on this mission and knows that his job is just to act as monster bait. Every 3 years, the wild hunt happens. The soul eaters appear in their respective countries and kill randomly and indiscriminately. Wynn is the soul eater in North America, and that's who the military is tracking today. No matter how he's attacked, he does not die. They've done everything that you can think of to try and kill Wynn, and he still appears every 3 years and wreaks havoc on North America. Danny is huddled up with a group of soldiers when he arrives. The plan is for Wynn to massacre the soldiers while a group of more specialized men take him out from their vantage points. When Danny catches a glimpse of Wynn, he's stunned.
Also, what a cool idea.
I thought it was a really cool world.
Yeah, very cool idea. I like that.
I thought it was like a mix of A Soul to Keep by Opal Rain and the Four Horsemen series by Laura Thalassa.
Yes.
Ooh.
It's very fun.
Mm.
But they were boys.
I know. I see MM.
Mm-hmm.
My breath caught. He seemed to loom unnaturally large, but Intel told us he was roughly 6'5". So not a giant like some of the other monsters. Still, his presence was overwhelming. Even from this distance, even though I couldn't see his face, because the hood was up on his calf-length gray coat with its ragged hem, heavy black boots came up to mid-calves and blended into tight black pants and a loose black shirt. But it was the horns that held my attention. Long black horns that stabbed out from the depths of his hood and curved back around his head. Wisps of long black hair had escaped and moved gently in the breeze. But where his face was supposed to be, there was just impenetrable black beneath that hood. I shuddered in horror. Did he even have a face? What was under there? Oh my God, imagine he just didn't have a face at all. Couldn't kiss him. Nothing.
He just takes his hood off and there's just nothing.
Scary.
He said, hi, I don't have a head.
Gotcha.
Wynn is just standing there like he knows exactly what's going on. And then he's shot in the shoulder by a trigger-happy soldier and the blood that oozes out of him is black. He just reaches into his cloak and pulls out a serrated dagger, walks closer to the ambush and says, "Come face me then." Danny blacks out and can only hear what's going on around him, but people are being annihilated left and right. Before he knows it, Danny is the last one left alive and Wynn is walking straight toward him. He falls back on his ass and then passes out from the sheer terror. The next thing he knows, he wakes up in his bed at the barracks. He's super confused and goes to take a shower to clear his head before he goes to find his commanding officer. When he's all freshened up, he walks through the halls toward Lieutenant Mallory's office and notices it's oddly empty around here. And when Mallory sees him, Danny is told to follow him. He'll be speaking to Specimen 015 to gather intel. And Danny's like, "Specimen who?" And Mallory says, "The Soul Eater." So, Wynn. They have Wynn.
They have him?
Captured.
Mm-hmm. They captured him. And Wynn is apparently refusing to speak to anyone who isn't the soldier who lived, Danny himself. He's told he needs to speak to the Soul Eater and find out everything he can about the Wild Hunt and if there's a way to stop it. And keep in mind, Danny is like a grunt. He's like a private. He's not important at all. So he's like, why am I being told to do this super high up intel mission?
Yeah. But I mean, did they tell him that Wynn requested him?
They did, but this is like way out of his wheelhouse because he was only on that mission to basically die so that the actual important military people could try and snipe Wynn. Yeah.
But I mean, they're only requesting him because he is requesting him. So, I mean,
it's true.
Yeah.
He's brought down to the lowest level of the base where the specimens are kept. There are 15 in total, two of which are currently missing, and Danny is told their whereabouts are classified information. Each of the monsters is slightly different in appearance, but terrifying in their own ways. As Danny walks past each one, he can't help but feel anger at the humans for caging them up so inhumanely and then wondering why they go around massacring. When he's in the intel room, he sees Wynn on the other side of reinforced glass. Wynn is just sitting crisscross applesauce on the ground, chilling, very nonchalant. And Danny is told by the captain that he is to go into that room and do whatever it takes to make Wynn talk. Be friends if he has to, but they need information. Under no circumstances is he to give Wynn any information regarding himself or the details of the base. Then he's shoved into the room with the Soul Eater with nothing but a wall of reinforced glass between them. Wynn looks up at him and is like, "Nice to see you again. Have a seat." When Danny is sitting down facing Wynn, he asks Danny his name, which Danny refuses to give him. Danny asks how he chooses who he kills and who he doesn't, but Wynn wants some of his questions answered in return first and asks Danny how it felt to be on that field expecting to die just like his fellow soldiers.
I mean, valid question.
Yeah. Danny says he felt scared and angry, not angry at Wynn specifically, but angry that they didn't need to die and their deaths were pointless. Wynn is satisfied with the answer and says, "Okay, I'll answer one question today." So Danny asks again about how he selects his victims. Wynn says there's a reason that he kills the people he does and spares the others, but it's not any sort of formula that Danny's officers will ever be able to work out. That's all the information Danny is getting until tomorrow, so he's let out of the cell. The soldier that takes him back to his station tells Danny that the other three men that tried to speak to the Soul Eater didn't fare as well as him. One of them was taunted so badly he refused to return. One got carried out in a straitjacket, and the last one had a stroke and died.
Jesus.
So Wynn is fucking scary.
Yeah, I don't know why this made me think of, like, Saw. You know how he, like, puts these people in traps that, like, are basically pieces of shit. Have you guys know the Saw movies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when he was asking, how do you choose who you kill? And he's like, you guys wouldn't get, like, why I choose who I kill or whatever. But I'm like, what if he kills a piece of shit, you know? He's like, oh, you're a bad person. I'm going to kill you. Is that the case?
We'll find out. I don't know.
I felt like it was giving very much, like, Hannibal vibes. Like, he's Hannibal. And then he's like, hello, Clarice.
Yeah. Danny and Wynn have the same meeting again the next day, but Wynn is more interested in chit-chatting than anything else. He wants to know what Danny would be doing right now if he wasn't being forced to sit in this room with him, and Danny gives him the basic rundown of his morning schedule, and Wynn is like, cool, cool, cool. If I wasn't in this room, I'd probably be killing someone. Once again, Danny refuses to tell Wynn his name, so he asks what Danny's favorite part is about being a soldier. But Danny hates being in the military, so he just says that he had nothing left for him back home. Then he asks Wynn why he follows the 3-year cycle. He says that's how often it seems necessary. He could do it more often if he chose to. With Danny's question answered, Wynn says he'll see him tomorrow. Except the next day, Wynn seems to be in a foul mood. He's sick of being locked in the cell and is convinced Danny's superiors are less worried about the humans he's killed and more so about if they can harness his power to use it themselves. He's being super menacing and tells Danny he knows what they're doing down here and what the military does to them. And then Danny is swiftly dragged out of the room by Mallory, who tells him to keep this meeting on the hush-hush and show up again tomorrow. But the next day, Wynn is giving Danny the silent treatment. Danny doesn't know why, but he has to resist the urge to ask Wynn if he's okay. But he leaves the room without any new answers and tries again the next day. The next day, Wynn is willing to talk to Danny. But as the days pass, he seems to grow more and more agitated. Finally, he's told by Hamish, the captain, that today is the last chance for Danny to get the answers they need before they move on to other methods. Danny asks if Wynn can control and stop the hunt, and Wynn just chuckles and is like, you could say that. But Danny is annoyed about not getting a straight answer. Also, this whole time, Danny has been wearing a military mask and helmet, and Wynn says if he wants clearer answers, he wants the mask off. Then he uses Danny's full name. So he found out Danny's identity from inside the cell somehow.
Oh, how?
I know, smart guy, very Hannibal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Danny says, okay, fine, but if he does this, he wants one more answer for today, and Wynn agrees. Danny reveals his face and does his best to look straight into the dark abyss of Wynn's cloak hood. Wynn has zero reaction, and they just have an awkward staring contest for a few seconds before Danny asks again if he can stop the hunt. Wynn says yes, although this is his duty. He could stop all of the hunts from happening, but why would he want to? Then Danny asks who assigned this duty, and Wynn says nobody, and he gets nothing for doing it. Danny's feeling ultra frazzled and feels like he can smell smoke for some reason when Wynn says he's in a particularly generous mood, so ask one more. But Danny's mind is blank and he panics and asks how long he's been doing the hunt. Wynn says longer than human civilization has been around. See you tomorrow. When he's out of the room, Hamish is pissed, saying there was a camera malfunction right when Wynn said Danny could ask him one more question. Danny denies anything important was missed since they'd heard the last question and the answer, and leaves out the weird smoke smell detail for some reason. So it cut out for just a few seconds and then clicked back on.
Huh. What's going on?
I don't know. Some tomfoolery? That night, while Danny's laying in bed, spiraling about this whole situation, he's called back to speak with Wynn. Apparently, he has more intel he's willing to give Danny, and Danny only. As the elevator doors open to the floor Wynn is kept on, Danny instantly hears him yelling, angrily demanding to speak to Danny now. Danny is shocked because Wynn is generally pretty even-tempered, and he's absolutely livid right now. He's shoved into the cell, and Wynn commands him to take his mask off immediately and prove it's him. Danny does, and he's shaking in his combat boots because of how angry this soul eater seems. As soon as he sees it's Danny, Wynn relaxes and says, "Hey, Danny. Okay, you can put your mask back on." Danny's frozen, and Wynn yells, "Put the fucking mask back on."
Jesus, why? Why?
I don't know. Danny obeys, and Wynn walks toward the glass, snaps his fingers, and everything goes black. Chaos ensues, and Danny can hear people being slaughtered. Then he catches a glimpse of a white face with glowing eyes and sharp teeth. A vapor enters through a crack in his suit, and he gets really foggy. He asks for Wynn before he passes out. He wakes up, still in his tactical gear, but now he's in a dingy old motel room with Wynn. He tells Danny good morning, his military base is gone, and most of his colleagues are dead.
Well, rise and shine.
Okay, Kylie. Yeah, I mean, he didn't really like it there, so well.
No, and he didn't have any friends.
Yeah, so well.
And no one respected him, so.
Fuck him.
They also didn't seem like they were doing good things. I don't know.
They weren't. So he's basically like, dang.
Shoot.
Darn.
He freed the monsters that were prisoners there, and they had taken their revenge. Danny is rightfully confused, and Wynn tells him that he was never actually trapped in the cell. He was just waiting for the right time. Apparently, he can turn into vapor and use the vents to go wherever he wants. So he was just hanging out there for fun. He was like, oh no, you caught me.
Shoot.
Whatever will I do?
Big, strong military.
Was he the smoke smell?
Yeah.
I think so.
He was, like, using it to black out Danny's vision or to make him pass out when he needed to.
Oh, okay. He's smart.
I mean, he's, like, 100,000 years old, so he'll learn a few things along the way.
Yeah, it'd be kind of dumb if he wasn't smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny wants to know why Wynn spared him once again, but he doesn't get an answer. And Wynn just seems amused about all of it and tells him that Hamish and or Mallory didn't die and they're probably after them right now. Probably about a day behind. He can either remove his tracker and go with Wynn, or he can go out to the wastes alone and try his best. And remember, all of civilization is basically on the coastline, controlled by the governments, and then the inside of the U.S. is what they call the wastes, and it's just filled with, like, raiders and monsters, and it's like a fend-for-yourself type situation. So he's like, you can come with me, or you can go out there by yourself. Your choice.
Just, like, pick your poison.
Uh-huh. Danny knows the wastes are filled with raiders and monsters, and he'd likely die if he stays here. Or he'll likely be killed by his superiors, who more than likely think he's in cahoots with Wynn. He tells Wynn that he will come with them, but he will not be killing anyone. And Wynn is like, well, you don't have to. It's my task, not yours. So Danny takes the tracker out of his helmet, stomps it into the ground, and walks out of the hotel room with the Soul Eater. They walk down the highway until they reach an old store. Wynn grabs a backpack and thrusts it at Danny, telling him to fill it with whatever he needs to stay alive. So Danny grabs some clothes, toiletries, and some shelf-stable food items that were left behind after the store had last been raided. And then they set off walking to whatever destination Wynn has planned for them. They walk for the rest of the day until Danny cracks and is like, okay, so what's the deal? Are you sacrificing me? Are you using me as bait? What is going on? And Wynn is like, why is it so hard to believe that I just felt like saving you? You can leave anytime you want. But Danny doesn't believe him and is like, so am I supposed to just tag along while you murder people? Am I supposed to clean up after? Am I eventually just going to die like the rest of them and then you'll hang me up so everyone can see? But Wynn tells him to stop talking. He's not going to kill him. Danny starts to cry and asks why Wynn hasn't killed him, but Wynn just says, why should I? After another hour of walking, they find an abandoned motel, and Wynn tells Danny to go ahead and sleep. Danny kicks down one of the doors to a room and barricades himself inside with one of the chairs, but there's no power. He lays in the bed, not taking off his tactical gear, and just stares into the darkness, just spiraling about the situation he's found himself in until finally he falls asleep. When he wakes up the next morning, he's pleasantly surprised to find out the motel has running water, and he's able to freshen up and get all the dirt and grime off of himself. When he walks outside, Wynn is waiting for him in the parking lot and says, good morning, let's hit the road. So they start walking again, and Danny is feeling so much better than yesterday. They manage to make small talk, with Danny telling Wynn how he was raised in New Louisiana by his mother, who passed away a year ago after getting sick. And Wynn offers his condolences, and then Danny inquires again about where they're going. Wynn says, we're going west toward the cities, and he may run into some of the people on his list in the wastes, again confirming that he doesn't kill at random. But Danny still doesn't understand what goes into making the decision.
I kind of like their dynamic.
I know. Wynn is just very, like, I wouldn't even call him broody or anything. He's just, like, very nonchalant. He's
yeah.
Just a dude.
I like that.
Uh-huh. And Danny's pretty sunshiny.
He's a very sensitive guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very in tune with his emotion.
Mm-hmm. Then Wynn freezes and tells Danny to stay put before he runs off through the trees. Danny doesn't obey and instead follows Wynn, who winds up at a dilapidated cabin. A man steps out onto the porch with a shotgun pointed at Wynn, telling him not to take another step closer or he'll blow a hole straight through his skull. Wynn tells the man to step forward and he'll make it quick, but the man isn't having it and fires, shooting Wynn right in the shoulder. Wynn is largely unaffected by the wound, but Danny rushes forward to him out of instinct. Black smoke takes over Danny's sight, and then the man's gun is flying through the air and he's shoved back against the wall. Wynn makes his way into the house and climbs the stairs, dripping black blood as he goes. Danny stays out on the porch with the man and points his own rifle at him just in case. He can hear Wynn stomping around upstairs and a few people screaming. Then someone from up there is thrown down the stairs and lands in front of Danny. The man looks up at him, and Danny sees that something about this guy seems all wrong. He begs Danny to help him, but Wynn comes downstairs and kicks the man in the ribs. Wynn brings the man outside to the front yard and wraps his hands around his throat. But the look of terror slides off the man's face, and now he looks almost demonic. Wynn cranks the man's mouth wide open, and something oily and thick starts sliding up his throat and out of his mouth, eventually being sucked up by Wynn, and the man withers away to skin and bones and dies.
Is that like his soul? Is he sucking his soul out? His bad little devious soul?
No.
Oh, what is happening?
Good guess, though. People probably think that, though. It's probably why he's called a soul eater.
Yeah, I thought he was eating bad people's soul. Are they demons?
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. As Wynn and Danny start to walk away, a woman upstairs fires a shot at them. She misses, thankfully, and to Danny's surprise, Wynn does not kill her. They get back out onto the open road, and Danny finally asks Wynn if that man back there was human. Wynn says no, and Danny asks if that is his task. Wynn says yes. They're a parasitic, demonic species that has been infecting humans for basically forever. They take over the body and brain as inconspicuously as they can, and then they lay eggs to infect more humans. Eggs inside of you.
Ew.
Mm-hmm.
What an idea.
Wynn's task is to kill them before they get the chance to reproduce. So he's basically protecting the human race. And other than that, he only kills humans who are actively trying to kill him first. So he's not even a bad guy. He's just misunderstood.
No. Yeah.
Danny starts laughing hysterically because what the actual fuck? Everything he thought he knew about Wynn was wrong. Then Wynn flips the script and is like, why didn't you try to kill me the first night we met? And Danny tells him that he was scared and didn't even want to be there. He never agreed with what the military was doing, but after his mom died, it seemed like enlisting was his only option. He asks why Wynn decided to bring him on this adventure, and Wynn says that Danny was the first human to treat him with something other than disgust. But if he'd known how annoying and talkative Danny was, he would have chosen differently, and they both laugh together. So now they're having banter.
Yeah, it's like Shrek and Donkey.
Yeah. But if they fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shrek and Donkey. I read that.
Oh, God. No.
I think at this point in the book, I was texting Shelby and I was like, how do they form a romantic relationship?
Yeah.
How?
I can see my next highlight isn't until page 139. So I'm like, damn.
Takes a while. And I just couldn't see how it was going to get there, but.
It gets there.
Yeah.
Like they're wieners.
Penis to penis.
Maybe. Then they continue the journey, walking together in comfortable silence. 3 weeks pass and Wynn has killed 37 parasites and been attacked by countless humans. Now that Danny knows the truth, he's sickened by the violence on his newfound friend. But Wynn hardly seems to care. Danny learns a lot about the monsters, too. They're kind of all over the place in the wastes. They're all varying degrees of humanoid and animal-like, intelligent, and running on instinct. Wynn tells him that a rift between their worlds opened up long ago, but as it got bigger, some of the monsters made their way through. Some stayed, some went back home, and some switched between the two, like Wynn. That's where he goes when he's done with a cycle of his task. He goes home to sleep. Now Danny's sad thinking about Wynn going back to his world and leaving Danny all alone. They have their routine down at this point, and Danny basically forgets that they're on the run from the military, at least until they're walking through an open field and Wynn freezes and grabs Danny's arm. It's the first time Wynn has touched him before, and Danny feels a hint of arousal at the contact, but refuses to acknowledge it. Wynn commands him to put on his mask and helmet, and then Danny hears the helicopter closing in on them. They book it until they make it to the cover of a nearby forest and try to get as far away from the helicopter as possible until Wynn stops Danny and tells him to stay silent. They can hear soldiers nearby talking about how they're here to capture a deserter who had something to do with the monsters being released at the Nebraska base. And Danny's like, oh, fuck, that's me. And then he sees a giant black blob oozing toward where the soldiers are. And it's called a Carinus, and it apparently eats anything it finds, and it's super hard to kill.
Oh.
Just a giant black blob with teeth.
Ugh, just envelops anything it, like, goes near? That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah. Danny listens as the men start to scream as they're being eaten. One of them makes a distress call to the helicopter, who lands, and it's assumed that everyone inside of it is eaten as well. They continue walking until they find the men's truck idling nearby, and they decide to swipe it and head off down the road. Danny eventually asks if it's okay if he takes off his helmet and mask so he can see better while he drives, and he shudders when he feels long fingers unclasping his goggles at the nape of his neck. They drive for hours until it starts to get dark, and Danny thinks it's safe to assume the helicopter is no longer an issue since they haven't seen any sign of it. Finally, they make it to a small abandoned town and find a garage to hide the truck for the night. They set up camp in the living room of a home that's also abandoned, and Danny lays down on the couch and asks Wynn to stay here with him tonight, so Wynn gets comfy on the chair. Danny wakes up choking for breath in the middle of the night after a nightmare about being eaten by the Karenis and Wynn being hunted by the helicopter. He reaches out and clutches onto Wynn's coat sleeve, and Wynn tells him it's all right, just to breathe, and settles a hand over Danny's chest. Danny lays his hand over Wynn's and then notices he can feel their hips touching one another.
Oh.
Wynn tells him it's still dark out, so try to get a few more hours of sleep. Danny says no, he's awake and might as well get up and shower. And Wynn says this house has running water and he knows where the bathroom is, so Danny follows him down the hallway. There's no electricity, though, so Danny leaves the door open after Wynn steps out, so he has a little bit of light to see what he's doing. He strips and hops in and washes off, but as he's getting out, he catches his foot on the side of the tub and falls down, dropping the towel he just put on around his waist.
Not his penis.
He's exposed. Wynn bursts in, asking what happened, and Danny grabs the towel, clutching it around his privates, saying, "It's fine, he just tripped getting out of the tub." And then Wynn is like, "Do you need help?"
My throat got hot at the thought of Wynn helping me to dress. I realized I was standing in just a towel and clutched it tighter to my hip. "I'm fine, thanks." My voice came out a little strangled, and I was mortified when my dick twitched. What the fuck? Please, please let him not have noticed. Just going to get dressed. All good.
I bet he did notice.
He notices everything. He's 100,000 years old.
Yeah.
Wynn goes back into the living room and Danny gets dressed, but his dick is so hard he has trouble zipping his pants up. Which, that's hard. That's a hard dick.
That's a hard penis.
Yeah.
As he combs out his hair, he tells himself this is fine. He's just got a little crush, and it's only because Wynn is the first person to treat him well aside from his mom. He'll ignore it, and it'll be fine. But it is not fine, and he cannot ignore it. As the weeks go on, he finds himself touching Wynn more, and he's noticing Wynn doesn't seem to mind and even returns it on occasion. After a night at another abandoned motel, they head to an old diner to stock up on supplies for Danny, but a large bag of trail mix won't fit in his backpack. They head back to the motel to pack up, and he asks Wynn if he can put it in his bag, and Wynn is like, "Yeah, sure." Then Danny's like, "What do you even keep in here?" And Wynn dumps it out, and there's a bunch of supplies that he's seen Danny put back at stores in the past because he didn't have room. He swiped all of it and saved it just in case.
Oh, cute. So cute.
Nobody has ever done anything so thoughtful for Danny, and he's stunned and blurts out, "I want you." Wynn is like, "You want me?" And Danny says, "Yes, I'm sorry if it makes things weird, but I want you and I'm attracted to you." Wynn steps in closer to him and runs a finger over Danny's bottom lip. And keep in mind, Wynn's fingers are like long and black tipped.
Does he have nails?
He's like salad fingered fingers.
Ew. Like the spoons?
Rusty spoons.
Rusty spoons. "You want me, Danny?" Wynn asked. His distorted voice was intimately deep, raspy. "You want my body? You want to get off?" Yeah, that's what he said.
Danny says yes, but also not just that. He says, "I want your body, but also I like you, Wynn." And Wynn asks if he's sure, and Danny nods. So Wynn sits on the edge of the bed and leans back, asking Danny what exactly it is that he wants. So Danny gets up and leans down between Wynn's legs. He wants to suck Wynn's soul eater dick.
Oh my God.
Wynn shoves his pants down, and Danny is shocked that he doesn't immediately see a dick and balls, but more of a slit.
Ew.
Yeah. It's one of those. Wynn reaches down and uses two fingers to pull his slit apart, and then Danny can see the head of a dick poking through, and Wynn asks if he wants his cock. Not what I was expecting at all, but.
No, it's not our normal monster dick.
I don't like that at all.
It's very Duskwalker-esque.
Yeah.
He just opens his slit.
Yeah.
Like a vagina. Like he's pulling his lips apart.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
But he still has a penis just inside of his vagina.
As I watched, a long, thick cock slid out from that slit. It looked slick with some kind of natural lubricant. The head smooth and bulbous and, fuck, it was perfect. Beautiful dick that had been hidden in Wynn's body. Slightly pinker in color than Wynn's snow-white skin, with thick dark veins winding up the shaft. Fuck, I choked out, mouth watering. My hands rose and palmed Wynn's thick, scarred thighs, spreading them wider. My cock pulsed with pre-cum, the damp tips sticking to my boxer briefs, his left hand still framing the base of his dick. Wynn took the forefinger of his right and slid the stained tip of it all the way up to his shaft, through the wetness. Okay, okay. I don't know why. I was picturing him to be, like, the color black, like all of him.
No, he's very pale.
Yeah, but the tips of his fingers look like he dipped them in black paint.
Huh, okay. I'm thinking of, like, Sleep Token also. I don't know why.
Yeah, you could picture Vessel.
Yeah.
Do it, yeah. We don't know what his face looks like.
We don't. You know what?
Hell yeah.
There you go.
Also, I heard this theory that people think it's Bo Burnham.
No fucking way.
They're, like, the same height.
And I feel like Bo Burnham has, like, a deep voice.
Not really.
He can.
He can.
Yes.
Oh.
Maybe.
Anyway, back to the story. Danny sucks one of Wynn's blackened fingers into his mouth, and Wynn moans, telling Danny he wants his mouth so bad. So Danny immediately gets down to business, realizing that the lubricant actually tastes super good.
I released him from my mouth to wind my tongue around the head of his dick, to flick it over his cockhead slit. I realized that it wasn't the same as his pre-cum, which tasted different, sharper. I gave a short, hard suck for more, making Wynn gasp, a sound I knew I would cherish, then slid my mouth free to dip it to the base of his shaft and his slit. His slit.
Yeah, it's like twice the work to have to deal with a penis and a slit.
Yeah.
Wynn is loving this and is shaking and panting, telling Danny to suck him.
His dick was bucking, throbbing in time with his pulse, and so hard it was like an iron spike jutting out of his body. Pre-cum dripped from the head, and his slit was now glistening with his honey, flowing down between his legs to drip onto the bed. Oh, fuck. His honey.
Ugh. Ugh.
His honey.
As Danny's hands meander up Wynn's thighs, Wynn grabs it and brings it to his slit, so Danny starts playing around with that too.
He directed me until my palm faced up, then gently rocked my hand so my fingers pressed deeper inside him. I felt their tips rub over a slight protrusion, and Wynn's entire body shuddered. When a deep, broken moan escaped from the depth of his hood, I couldn't help but groan desperately around his cock, sucking harder and sliding my wet lips up and down the throbbing length.
Danny is rock hard, imagining actually being inside of Wynn with his cock, and Wynn is begging Danny not to stop what he's doing. As Wynn starts to come, Danny presses his fingers into the protrusion in the slit, and Wynn comes even harder. As Wynn relaxes his body on the bed, Danny continues exploring his body with his fingers and tongue until Wynn tells him to stand up and then pulls Danny's pants down, saying it's his turn to come.
When he eased my unbending cock out of my pants and underwear, I let out a shaky breath at the feel of his cool fingers on my overheated skin. My balls twitched, already tight and high, my hands fisted tight by my sides. The low, appreciative sound from Wynn made my brows pinch in anguish. Fuck, he didn't even need to move his hand, and I was likely to go off. When his other hand cupped my tight sack, air left my lungs in a rush. My hips twitched with desire to rut into Wynn's fist, but he dropped his hand from my cock. When I saw him slide his fingers over his slit, collecting lubricant, I couldn't help but make a shaky, desperate sound. Oh my god, his slit!
Yep.
I'm literally picturing a vagina.
Me too. And the protrusion, I'm pretty sure, is just his G-spot.
Oh yeah.
This is the best and only old-fashioned of Danny's life, and he comes all over Wynn's chest. So Danny's also a big fat virgin.
Big fat virgin.
And Wynn takes some of the cum onto his finger and it disappears into his hood as he licks it clean. But as Danny comes down from the orgasm, he doesn't know what to do. He grabs a towel for Wynn to clean up with and he's kind of freaking out. But Wynn steps behind him and he feels a cool brush of air on the skin of his neck and he's pretty sure Wynn just kissed him.
Yeah, I'd be like, take your fucking hood off. Let me see what's under there.
Ugh, that is a problem for another day.
Yeah.
Do we ever get to find out?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
Days pass and they're still traveling, but Wynn hasn't brought up the blowjob one time. Danny's terrified that Wynn regrets it and that maybe the feelings aren't reciprocated. As they're walking through an abandoned city, Danny feels something is watching him, but he doesn't want to seem like a wuss, so he doesn't bring it up. Finally, they make it to a suburb and find a house to crash at for the night. As Wynn goes to step out to find water for Danny, Danny stops him and asks if he regrets what they did. It's okay if he did, but Danny doesn't, just to put that on record. And Wynn is like, "You liked it? You want to do it again?" Danny nods his head, so Wynn approaches him and pulls Danny's cock out. Wynn's hood stays on, but he starts licking and sucking at Danny's cock and balls. And as he moans, Wynn picks up the pace.
Wynn moaned low around my length, sucking harder, both hands now gripping my hips hard and urging them to keep moving. Oh, fuck. Shit. My nuts tightened up to hug the base of my dick. My legs shook, muscles too tight as my orgasm started barreling down my spine. It was happening too fast. I didn't want it to be over yet, but I couldn't stop it. My cock started pulsing in Wynn's mouth, nuts like rocks.
He says nuts a lot, which is funny.
I know. Fuck, I'm coming. I moaned, hips stuttering and fingers digging in too hard into the back of Wynn's hood. All right. But like, he didn't even tell Danny if he liked it or not. He just said, "You want to do it again?"
I think that means yes. Sounds like a yes.
Yeah, you're right.
After Wynn swallows down Danny's cum, he says he doesn't regret it, and then he leaves the house. The next morning, Danny wakes up with a little extra pep in his step, but he's super confused and surprised when he sees Wynn standing outside with a big purple monster. He's huge, horned, ripped, and wearing a kilt with combat boots. He sounds pretty similar to Wynn, except for he's purple.
Oh, okay.
Wynn introduces them to each other, and we learn that this purple guy's name is Eden. He's an old friend of Wynn's, and he wants to tag along. He seems a lot more outgoing than Wynn, but Danny decides this guy seems pretty cool, so they all head out together. After a while, they find a nest of those parasite demons, and Danny is told to hang back while Wynn and Eden handle business because things could get messy, not to mention the queen. There will be lots of eggs, and the queen smears jelly-like mucus all over them to keep them safe until they hatch, and it's going to be a whole thing.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, I don't like it. Danny draws his gun and sits at the entrance to wait for the other two to finish up. But when he hears Eden shout Wynn's name from inside the nest, he panics and rushes inside. He finds Wynn wrestling with the queen, who is the size of a car and like a cross between an insect and a reptile.
That's disgusting.
I just pictured the babies to be like, have you seen Slither?
No.
No.
Oh, Google those.
Just Slither babies?
Ew. I don't like that.
I don't like any of this.
Yuck.
Yuck.
In the movie, the girl's taking a bath and one goes in the bathtub when she's not looking. And you can guess where it goes.
No!
Yeah.
I don't like it.
That's
I don't like that.
Insane.
Danny goes to fire a shot at the queen to help, but he's bitten by one of the freshly hatched parasites. Wynn roars, rips the queen clean in half, and rushes to Danny, ripping the parasite off of him. He leans down and sucks as much of the venom out of Danny's arm as he can. He won't die or be possessed, but he may be weak for a couple of days. Danny gets woozy and Wynn has to carry him, but now Wynn is woozy too, because he sucked all that venom out. So Eden has to carry Danny, and they stumble off to find a safe place to rest. Once they're all hunkered down, Danny feels almost drunk and is begging Wynn to let him see his face, but Wynn says no. Danny's like, "I can suck your dick but not see your face?" And Eden just snort laughs in the background. He's just overhearing all of this and he's like, "Heh." Danny continues and is like, "Show me your face and I'll fuck you." And Eden's like, "Oh shit, I'll take my hood off." But Wynn just tells him to shut his trap. Danny is passed out at this point, but overhears the two monsters talking, and Eden is trying to convince Wynn that if he's gonna have a romantic relationship with Danny, he should probably take his hood off, but Wynn is too insecure. Before Danny drifts off completely, he hears Eden say the word imprinting, and then he's out cold. The next morning, Danny realizes they're holed up in an abandoned mansion and Wynn is right beside him. Wynn helps him get cleaned up in the fancy bathroom and then he's back to bed, simply exhausted, and Wynn says he'll stay with Danny. They snuggle and Danny is shocked when Wynn plants a smooch right on his lips. Danny's so turned on now and they start making out and Wynn's tongue is cool and tastes like damp earth. Danny loves it.
Damp earth.
Yum. Mm. Dirt.
Yeah.
Wynn sits up and straddles him and pulls Danny's pants down, asking if he meant it when he said that Danny would fuck him. Danny nods enthusiastically, so Wynn takes both of their clothes off, but the room is dark and Danny's bummed. He can't see Wynn in all of his glory.
Oh, fuck. My voice trembled out of me into the silence of the room as my dick slid into Wynn's slick, squeezing channel. I panted shakily against his mouth, Wynn's quick breaths mingling with mine as he sank down until his stiff, slippery cock was throbbing against my lower stomach where it emerged from his slit. So is he in his asshole or his slit?
He's in his slit.
Oh, he's fucking his slit?
I don't think Wynn has a butthole.
I mean, he might.
Oh.
It is not mentioned that he has a butthole.
Okay. It's a slit. Okay.
As Wynn rides him, he makes Danny promise to try and stay safe from now on. Danny says, okay, yes, fuck, just keep going. And pretty soon they're both at the edge. Danny comes into Wynn's slit and Wynn comes all over Danny's chest and chin. So he comes out of his penis, but he can also come from his slit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Double whammy.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
They kiss, and then Wynn gets up to grab some water for Danny and puts his pants and hood back on. The light is clicked on, and Danny can see Wynn's entire body is covered in scars. Things get awkward, so Danny rushes off to the bathroom to clean himself off. When he gets back to the room, he tells Wynn he's going to try and sleep a little bit longer, so Wynn leaves him to snooze. But then Danny overhears Wynn and Eden speaking, and Eden is trying to convince Wynn that if he plans on keeping this human, he needs to teach him how to survive. He needs to toughen Danny up despite how much Wynn likes how soft and innocent Danny is right now. It's only fair. If not, Eden knows someone at a Raiders camp who would gladly take him in, but Wynn says no, absolutely not. Danny falls asleep and wakes up feeling refreshed. He pads outside and finds Eden sitting on a sun lounger, and they get to chit-chatting, and Danny confesses he was a virgin before last night. And Eden stands up and gives Danny a big giant hug and is like, oh, you sweet summer child, please try and stay safe out there. So Eden's very, very sweet.
Aw, love that.
Danny's like, yeah, okay. And Eden's like, okay, good. If you stay with us, we can be like brothers. And Danny says that he'd like that. Then Wynn comes outside with soup and crackers for Danny. After they eat, it's time to head off again. And Eden goes off on his own and assures Wynn and Danny that they'll see him again. He just likes to wander around. As Wynn and Danny continue on their journey, Danny is still made to hang back when Wynn takes care of the parasites. He's too scared of Danny getting hurt again. Danny does assure Wynn that he's so glad he's out here with him. He's happier than he's been in a long time, and Wynn wraps him up in a hug. They keep walking through another abandoned town when Wynn says he senses humans. When they hear a noise off in the distance, Wynn brings Danny to a diner telling him to keep his gun ready and he'll be back as soon as he takes care of whatever's out there. But while Wynn is gone, a man opens the back door to the diner and tells Danny to come with him and to hurry. But Danny's like, what? And the guy's like, my friend is risking her life to try and save you, so come on. Danny's like, what are you talking about? And he says they saw him a while back with the monster being forced to follow along, and they're here to help him. Danny says he's not a hostage and he's not going with them. Now go before Wynn comes back. But it's too late because here comes Wynn and he's pissed. He has a female with him and he knows exactly what they were trying to do. He's livid that they would try and take Danny from him. But Danny tells them that Wynn will let them both live if they let him and Wynn go without any trouble. So the woman grabs the man and they scurry out of the diner. That night, they find another motel, and Danny showers while Wynn goes to check for food nearby. And Danny is really hoping they'll bang tonight, since it's only been the one time so far. So when Wynn comes back, Danny asks him to stay in the room tonight. He wants him. Then it's fully on. They're stripping and kissing, and Wynn is stroking Danny's dick, asking what he wants, and Danny says he wants to get fucked this time. Wynn is down as hell, and Danny lays on his stomach on the bed so Wynn can prep him.
Oh my God, I choked out when his long fingers spread my ass wide and his tongue circled over my rim in a rough swipe. My thighs jerked open wider in reaction, ass tilting up, and Wynn responded by moaning low and licking a strip from my balls all the way back up to my asshole. Fuck, I panted, then cried out when he swirled his tongue. Oh my God, that feels so fucking good. I squeezed my eyes shut tight and I was shaking by the time Wynn pulled back long moments after. My stomach lurched when I heard the rustle of clothes, breathing hard. Wynn ran a fingertip over my wet hole, which twitched in response. He groaned. His finger was slippery when he slowly sank it inside my ass, and it turned me on even more to know where he would have gotten that lubrication. His slit. His little vagina.
Yeah. Danny's surprised it doesn't even hurt, and eventually he's taking three fingers. Then, Wynn withdraws his fingers and slowly slides his dick in. It's not long before Danny is asking for it harder and faster. Wynn is fucking the life out of Danny, and Danny is biting Wynn's hand, which is making Wynn go even faster, and it's just an absolute frenzy.
My dick was like steel, pressed between my stomach and the bed, but I couldn't even reach underneath myself to grab it, holding on for dear life as Wynn pounded into me. I wasn't sure I even needed to jerk it, though. The hot, damp friction from the sheets was making me shudder, and when Wynn sat up and grabbed the nape of my neck, holding my head down, my balls clenched up.
Then Wynn tells Danny to come for him. He wants to feel it, and Danny can't hold it off any longer.
Fuck. I cried out as it happened. My nuts balled up hard, and my dick pulsed wildly against my stomach, pumping round after round of cum against the sheets. I could feel my ass constricting around Wynn's cock, which seemed to press him harder against my prostate, making me shudder uncontrollably with pleasure. When Wynn snarled and plunged his cock deep, I moaned low. I was still coming, and the feel of his cock throbbing, spurting inside me made it stretch out even longer. Damn.
They collapse onto the bed together, and Danny says he's never come that hard in his life. Wynn just chuckles and tells him to sleep now, so Danny obeys, falling asleep to Wynn's sweet, smoky scent.
Cute. Also, he's never come that hard before because he's only fucked Wynn.
Literally. He's a big fat virgin, like Charlotte said.
Big fat virgin!
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Wynn and Danny continue their journey, but now they touch each other freely and fuck as often as they can. They make their way to the Grand Canyon, and that's when they see their second dying person. But it's the first one that Danny's seen up close since the farmhouse night, and he's really sad by it. He even tries to help the man, but Wynn says that it's too late for him. Danny feels that the least he can do is sit with the dying man until he passes, so that's what he does. As soon as the man passes, Wynn tells Danny to back up, and then they both watch as the man vomits the parasite eggs. Wynn destroys the eggs so that they can't look for another host, and then they move on to find a spot to camp for the night. They end up at an abandoned hotel. Danny sleeps through the night, and by morning, he isn't feeling better about the man's death, and he thinks about how life could end instantly in the wastes. He demands to finally see Wynn's face because of this. And Wynn is nervous, but he finally agrees and pushes his hood back.
A rush of something hot flooded through my chest as I stared at Wynn's face. At the mismatched eyes, one completely jet black, the other pure white with just a pinprick of a pupil. At the prominent brow bone that blended into a flat, bridgeless nose. His cheekbones were sharp and jutting, and scars peppered his skin, along with thin, raised ridges that followed the curves of his forehead and cheekbones. His horns flowed out from his temples, and his hair was long and inky black, soft-looking. A lock of it was caught on his horn and hanging in his face. Okay.
What do you think, sexy or not sexy?
Not sexy.
Yeah, not sexy.
He has a Voldemort nose.
Yeah. That's what I was like, ooh.
But a great personality.
Yeah, very cool, very fun, very fresh.
Yeah, uh-huh. Just leave the hood on.
Yeah. Imagine Danny was like, put it back on, put it back on.
I think that's fully what Wynn was expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad. What if he was like, oh my God, you're just like Voldemort.
I think Wynn would kill himself.
I think so.
He would.
Danny says that he's perfect, so he steps to him and kisses him and starts undressing Wynn. They're both naked as Danny walks Wynn towards the bed and then kneels before Wynn to worship him.
I looked up Wynn's body, meeting his eyes as I flattened my tongue and licked the entire length of his slit. which was already wet with his arousal. Wynn's features tightened, sharp teeth bared as he hissed with pleasure. His knees fell open wider, hips arching just a little off the bed to get closer to my mouth. They really love to just suck wiener.
They do. They're in the honeymoon phase, too. I love to suck a wiener in the honeymoon phase.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a chore.
No. You're, like, eager to do it.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, now that's, like, my go-to. If I don't want to do something, I'm like, just give me your wiener. I'll suck it real quick.
Fair.
Yeah.
I do be doing that a lot.
Andrew's a lucky man.
He is. He should be more grateful.
He should be.
Really should. He eats out Wynn's slit and then gives him the Gluck Gluck 3000, but stops before Wynn can come, and then Wynn is begging for Danny to fuck him. He does as his monster says and enters him, and it only takes a few minutes before they're both coming. They cuddle and talk, and Danny tells Wynn that he hopes he's ready for an even hornier version of Danny because he's wildly attracted to Wynn. They canoodle some more, and Wynn fingers Danny's booty until he's coming again. After that, they are fucking every chance they have now.
Like rabbits.
They continue their journey, and as they walk towards a rest stop, Wynn is shot. Danny drops to his knees and pulls Wynn's hood back. There's a giant crater on the left side of his face where his eye should be, and Danny screams in anguish. As he leans over Wynn's body, pain explodes on the side of his head, and he falls. And that's when he hears Mallory's voice. The military has finally caught up to them.
No.
Mallory lets the comms in his helmet know the specimen is down, and then Mallory starts beating the shit out of Danny. Then Danny shoved into the back of a car to go back for torture and questioning. It's about 5 days into their questioning and torture and him living in a cell. He's fucked up, branded, missing a toe, but he doesn't tell them anything that they want to know.
They put a big giant D on his chest for deserter.
Yeah.
I just be like, this is D for Danny because my name's Danny.
Yeah, I literally was going to say.
Yeah.
He could just be like, yeah, well, my name's Danny. So good job, guys. Also missing a toe. Which toe?
The pinky they cut off.
Mm. At least it's not like his big toe.
More time passes and Danny loses track of time. But then Hamish comes into his cell to let him know that they're going to be dissecting Wynn's corpse today. And they're going to bring Danny to watch. They want Danny there to tell them how he controlled the Soul Eater because they think that Danny somehow was able to control Wynn.
What?
Danny lets Hamish know that they're all fucking stupid, and then Hamish beats him until he passes out. When Danny wakes, he's on a bed and Wynn is there. He has a little mentee bee, Fair, and Wynn has to calm him down saying that he's real and they're both safe. He hugs Wynn and sobs, and when he's done, he asks Wynn what happened. Wynn says that he recovered enough to find Danny, and when he did, an officer was beating him to death, so Wynn ripped the officer to shreds. Danny cries some more, and Wynn helps him get cleaned up and dressed. Once Wynn is done cleaning Danny, he checks all of his wounds and then gets him settled on the bed, and Danny finally falls to sleep.
Wait, so they never had Wynn's body?
No, they did, but Wynn was just, like, sitting there, like, just recovering.
Like, regenerating. Because he's, like, unkillable.
Yeah, they can't kill him.
He just has to, like, chill for a minute when he gets shot or something.
Like The Four Horsemen by Laura Thalassa.
Yeah.
They stay at the motel room for the next couple of weeks so Danny can heal. Wynn completely stockpiled everything to make Danny's healing easier. He found a microwave, a tea kettle, an abundance of clean towels, clothes, books. He's taking care of his mans. He also rarely leaves Danny's side, but Danny tells Wynn that he's ready to move and start traveling again. He's also ready to start being intimate with Wynn again. Wynn says they can talk about leaving tomorrow, and then Danny starts kissing him with excitement. But Wynn stops his advances, saying that he needs to find Danny a new weapon, and leaves.
What's going on?
Rejecting him.
Yeah.
The next day, Wynn has one more errand to run before they take off. He needs to get them supplies that they can carry. He'll also look for a secondary weapon for Danny, since all he could find was a baseball bat. 20 minutes after Wynn is gone, there's a banging on the hotel door. A couple of monsters break through the barricade and Danny tells them to leave, but one of them says that they had to see the human Wynn is protecting for themselves. They're also there to take him to someone named Collector Mary so she can put him to use and get some good shows out of him. And it's like alluding to like he'll be a sex slave.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're like, we know you fuck monsters.
They're like, we know you suck his stick and finger his slit. You're going to do it for others.
But that's the only mention of Collector Mary. So I don't know if that character's in a different book in the series or what.
Yeah, because the next book is Eden's book.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
They step closer to Danny and he uses his bat on one of them when black smoke appears. It's Wynn and he tears the monsters to pieces and then him and his man leave. They get into an argument on the road and Danny is short and rude. He's tired of Wynn babying him and he wants to fuck his man. He isn't fragile and lets Wynn know that if he doesn't want him anymore, just say so. At the next hotel, as Danny showers, he hears Wynn speaking to Eden. But once he's done in the shower, Eden is gone. He wonders if Wynn is going to send him away finally to the raider camp that Eden mentioned before, and it really hurts. Wynn tells Danny he imprinted on Danny, and even though he wants to be with him, he needs to make sure Danny's safe, so he has to go to the raider camp. Danny blows up on him and says that he will not be going to any raider camp. He's staying with Wynn. Wynn tries to argue and says no because he clearly can't keep Danny safe and he keeps getting hurt because of him. Danny tries to tell Wynn that he won't go to a raider camp. He'll just go off on his own. But Wynn won't let him. Their lips crash together in a passionate kiss. They end up at the vanity undressed with Wynn leaning against it and Danny entering his slit. Danny pushes Wynn's chest back to get the full view.
My eyes took it all in greedily. He was spread out before me, knees open wide, either side of my hips, shirt and coat gaping to reveal his strong, scar-littered chest and stomach. His long cock bounced over his navel with every one of my pounding thrusts, already achingly stiff and dripping onto his stomach. Oh, a nice little angry fuck.
They both come and then they get cleaned up and go into bed. Wynn tells Danny all of his fears after finding him on the brink of death after he destroyed Hamish. He's scared to lose Danny. Danny tells him that he's thankful he saved him, but he can't live without him, so to please not send him away. They take a quick snooze, and when Eden arrives back at the motel to take Danny to the raider camp, Danny gives him a piece of his mind. He tells Eden it's none of his business, but he's not going anywhere because he loves Wynn, and Wynn makes him happy and keeps him safe. Eden says, yeah, man, that's fine. I was just doing what he was telling me to do, and apologizes, promising to see them tomorrow. Danny heads back inside, and Wynn says that he loves him too. They carry on Wynn's plan of finding and killing parasites, fucking each other daily, and being in love. The end.
Cute. Love that there was like really no third act breakup. Love that.
No, it's like a split second.
Yeah. So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
Honestly, I think I give it 5.
It was good.
Yeah, I really liked the storyline. The idea was super cool. Loved the characters, both of them. Very cool. I don't know. Yeah, it was really good. 5. What did you guys think of it?
I gave it a 4. I really liked it. I don't know why I gave it a 4 instead of a 5, but clearly that's what I was feeling, so.
Okay.
I gave it a 4.5. I thought it was excellent. I loved it.
Beautiful.
And on our next episode, we are telling Riley all about Sabotage by Chantel Tessier, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Yeah, I have no fucking clue what this is about. It just says Sabotage with a kiss mark on it. You know, I think this book is going to be humans. I think it's going to be, okay, these people are in a relationship, but the woman, she's not happy. So she cheats on her partner with somebody she works with.
Oh, wow.
And sabotages the relationship.
The tea.
But then her partner is actually like a very bad guy. And the guy she cheats with kills him. How'd I do? Am I close?
I've only read 1 chapter so far, but I would say based on that 1 chapter, no.
Okay.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to hear the r/smut podcast where Riley and I do blind reactions to Reddit erotica every Tuesday.
Yeah, do it.
Please check us out on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.